Well, hello everyone. Last week we looked at rock and hip-hop. The week before we looked at jazz. Well, this week we're going to look at Steven Spielberg. You know, if you're a long-term fan of this channel, then you'll know all about the boomer truth regime. And the truth about Steven Spielberg is that he is probably the number one propagandist for the boomer truth regime. In fact, the de facto assumptions of the liberal order are encoded in Steven Spielberg's films. His films really should be seen almost like a kind of, a mass exercise in telling people how they should think and feel. The truth about Steven Spielberg is that all of his films have this kind of soft boomer liberalism with a kind of sentimental, slightly mawkish feel to them. But underneath that, the values are the boomer values, which we're going to have a look at in a moment in due course in this video. So strap in, ladies and gentlemen, because this one's going to be another interesting exploration. Just before we get going, pick up the trivium today, logic, rhetoric, and of course writing. If you're interested in arts and culture, of course there's Foundations of Shakespeare, many other courses available. But today we're going to be talking about Spielberg, not Shakespeare. So what do I mean when I talk about the dark truth about Spielberg? Well, I put out this tweet, got over 1,000 likes there on Twitter X. I said the culture war cannot be won as long as people are generally still positive about these four individuals. There's Louis Armstrong there in the top right. If you're a Zoomer, I'm going to tell you who these people are because you won't have a clue, will you? Louis Armstrong, he represents jazz, of course, in the top right. Robin Williams in the top left. If people like this video, maybe subsequently I can do a Robin Williams video as well, because even buried even further into the heart of this kind of soft boomer truth regime, this kind of default liberalism everyone has, is Robin Williams. But I can talk more about him in a subsequent video if people are interested. Princess Leia, another video waiting to happen, to be honest. And of course, Steven Spielberg in the bottom left, the Hollywood film director extraordinaire, famous for Indiana Jones, Jaws, Jurassic Park, and so many other films. Now, when I put this out, I got a bit of pushback. Here's Gavin on Twitter. He said, you're reading way too much into the Spielberg films. Not everything is political propaganda. To which I replied, every single thing Spielberg does is political. And this is why you lose. Right, the idea that Steven Spielberg's films are neutral or not political in some way, is, if there's one thing I want you to take from this video, it's the lesson that whether you enjoy these films, think they're great works of art or otherwise, they are undoubtedly political. And the politics they are trying to inculcate in you are the politics of the regime, the politics of liberal democracy and boomer truth. Okay, and I've gone through a number of his films, which I'll explore in due course. So Spielberg, this is E.T., of course, one of his famous films. Take an alien into your family home and quote unquote help him find a home. Many insidious parts of this, not least the kind of pact that is made between E.T. and the little boy there, that, if the link is severed while E.T. is with them, if E.T. died, he'll take you with him. Now, there's all sorts of allegories you could make, like who is E.T., who does he represent, and so on and so forth. But the basic idea that you should take the alien into your home, right, is an enduring theme of Steven Spielberg's films. He is always on the side of the alien, the outsider, the marginalized group, okay? and he encourages you to see heroism as helping these alien forces in some way. Okay, this is at the very core of Spielberg's morality, and it's at the very core of what I have called Boomer Truth. Another famous Spielberg film, Indiana Jones, and of course, the Holy Grail. It is not for you. The Holy Grail is not for you. Now, there's much more to be read into who is the you and who is the we, as said by Spielberg. I was interested, I was kind of curious that the Holy Grail would actually make it into a Spielberg movie. And if you didn't know, the Indiana Jones films were written by, or at least the concept, the story, I'm not sure if he scripted them all, but he came up with the concept, was George Lucas, okay, of Star Wars fame, of course. He also created Indiana Jones and wrote Indiana Jones. And I was really interested to, as I was researching for this video, to discover that Steven Spielberg didn't want the Holy Grail in the movie. He was like, it's a little bit too esoteric, isn't it, George? You know, too esoteric. He wanted something else there, but George Lucas actually insisted. And there was numerous drafts and rewrites, and Spielberg brought in other writers. But for whatever reason, Lucas dug his heels in on this and gave the Grail kind of healing properties, which for some reason gave kind of Spielberg, you know, I don't know, they came to some sort of agreement. But I find it very interesting that this incredibly important notion of the Holy Grail, which does have a deep esoteric meaning, especially in Western mystery traditions, you might say, that is goes right to the core of many things and many spiritual questions. But he is outright saying here, it's not for you, okay? If you read, you know, there's a kind of, if you decode the esoteric Spielberg, right? He's saying the Holy Grail is not for you, right? Anyway, let's continue. Here's Jaws. What? Come on. You know, people have been saying he's so miserable, eh? A bit like Peter Hitchens these days. What's so wrong about Jaws? One of the great movies, right? Literally, give your life for a liberal out-of-towner from New York, okay? The true notion of heroism in this movie is sacrificing yourself for the out-of-towner, right? And if you think that these things aren't there, you're not reading Steven Spielberg in the right way. It's sometimes it's esoterically coded. Other times it's really explicit and in your face, as we'll see, okay? But, you know, it's there. What about this one? The Color Purple. I was made to read that in school, of course, as so many other people were. Alice Walker. Your country was oppressive and abusive, but then, through strength and empowerment, it was liberated by Whoopi Goldberg. And again, if you think that's not there, it is. Go and watch Color Purple again. Now, these days, it would be called woke, wouldn't it? Right, this sort of thing would be called woke. But you see, the truth is that woke was bad because it was aggressive, it was in your face, it was actively trying to force you to mouth their mantras and so on. There was an element of compelled speech and of chastisement and punishment about woke. Whereas Spielberg was always a lot more seductive and manipulative, okay? He played on your emotions. It was seduction into a kind of worldview that, you know, gives you Whoopi Goldberg as this kind of towering figure, you know. We'll carry on. Men have to sacrifice their career, their sense of mission, and perhaps even their higher purpose to play with their kids. Now, this could be a little bit harsh on Hook, to be honest, as a father myself, but there is something, there's always some little agenda at play with Spielberg, okay? And if you go and watch Hook again, think of it from the point of view of the independent masculine, right? The solar masculine, if you want. And, you know, just watch the film again and think about it in these terms. Hook was a flop, of course, but still, I wanted to shoehorn Robin Williams in to set up for a future video, to be honest. Okay, what about this one? Amistad. Do you remember the fuss made about this one in 1997? White people were terrible slave owners, especially Southern types. But that's okay because, of course, liberals, and the unconquerable spirit and the noble dignity of black guys. Okay, now you can see that most of these things, if they were presented in the aggressive woke manner today, would, you know, they'd cultivate a kind of backlash, what they call, in the culture wars, this would provoke a backlash today. But Spielberg was able to do it in such a way where he actually kind of, anybody who went and watched that film, he kind of brought them on side. He got in underneath the mind, as Bowden would say. And so this makes Spielberg an effective propagandist, okay? But he's always pushing a certain angle and a certain message. And his message, nearly everywhere and always, is against the dominant majority population, okay? Calling their past bad, or, you know, it's the progressive narrative. And it's with the outsider, with the minority group, with the marginalized group. Okay, in all those ways that are basically outright leftist. Okay, this is his frame. And, you know, I had a look, and it's interesting that every single Democrat president, Bill Clinton, Joe Biden, Obama, like there's a photo with each of them giving Steven Spielberg a medal. And if you have a look, he is a massive, like, Democrat donor. And, you know, he has the basic politics of, a liberal Democrat in America, is what his politics are. But still, I find people who would hate his politics, you know, leap to his defense because they love these movies. But you see, the thing is about movies is that they are, okay, yes, there's some artistry there and so on. But when we're talking about Hollywood films like this, there's a huge part of them that is propaganda. Okay, there's a huge number of people who, okay, maybe were prepared to go along with narratives that they wouldn't have otherwise, because a film like this played on their emotions. Okay, it got to them in a non-intellectual way. Even though war is brutal, harrowing, and will leave you with PTSD, it's definitely worth it if the enemy is the evil Germans. Obviously, I've picked Saving Private Ryan for this, but I mean, this is an ongoing theme in basically all of Spielberg's films. I mean, an interesting exercise would be to do a kind of count of the number of evil Germans who have their heads blown off during the course of these movies. I mean, you know, to say that is a reoccurring trope in Spielberg is an understatement. And of course, this is the very heart of the Boomer Truth regime, where the ultimate evil, of course, is the mid-century German, and the ultimate good is individual self-expression. So you have the always Churchill, where, you know, the soldiers that you see or whatnot, they are the permanent Churchill, and then you get the permanent John Lennon side, which is on the social front. Even though it is almost impossible to create community in the desolate isolation of the modern hellscape, I'm going to pretend that it is possible, right? So if this is The Terminal, if you're not familiar with this movie, where, I mean, imagine the notion that you could create human bonds and community in a bloody airport, the most transitional, luminal, modern space imaginable, right? And obviously this is a metaphor for modern society writ large. And, you know, it's basically a lie, this film. This film is providing hope, actually, in an area where there is none. And of course, it's doing it in a way where you get to pretend that these things, sorts of things are possible from the comfort of your own home. If you're watching this, on Netflix or whatever, or indeed from the comfort of a cinema chair as you eat nachos and popcorn. What about Munich? Cycles of violent revenge are actually justified if they are done against Israel. I mean, okay, we can grant him this given his background, but it's still a little bit strange that this, you know, generally, you know, a voice that has a, let's say, complicated relationship with war and whatnot, when it comes to this topic, he decides to make a film about, you know, Mossad hunting down the people who carried out the Munich bombings. Just a strange choice of topic for a film, I suppose. But again, it's an interesting one to revisit. You know, in if you watch it, you know, in the light of recent events. What about this one? America was racist and horrible, but then a really boring guy forced it not to be. Hooray! I sat through the turgid running time of Lincoln for my sins. And, you know, well, it says everything, really. What about his remake of West Side Story? America was always a nation of immigrants, a diverse kaleidoscope of different people from different places. Sure, there's the odd fight or murder, but ultimately, this is what makes us special. And this is why we want to be in America. Want to be in America. We don't want to be America. I was in West Side Story once, believe it or not. I played Chico. Maria. not the best actor. Anyway, yeah, you get the idea, though. The notion that this director is not political is really quite ridiculous. It's so obvious that he has been an agenda-driven movie maker from the very start, okay, from the 70s onwards, from the very, very start. I'll give one caveat. Duel, if you ever watch the movie Duel, that is a great chase movie, a great thriller. Duel, that's the only movie of his that doesn't have this thickly layered soft liberal agenda, you know, broadly speaking, a woke agenda, you'd say today, slathered on top of it. What about this one? Everybody's been thinking, yeah, wait till he gets Jurassic Park. What's he going to say? The profit motive is bad when done in the name of evil Faustian white man science, but it is good when done in the name of earning over $1 billion for Universal Pictures under Sidney Sheinberg, who was the CEO of Universal at this time. Funny how that company, Universal, keeps on coming up, isn't it? Do you remember Doug Morris from last week? Well, now we've got Sidney Sheinberg. But anyway, yeah, and $250 million for me personally, right? That was how much money Spielberg made from Jurassic Park, which is interesting given that the whole thrust of the messaging of the film is, broadly speaking, anti-commercial, right? It's about, there's a critique of capitalism, quote unquote, in there. And this again goes to the heart of the duality of the modern liberal Democrats, who are always caught between wanting to kind of keep their leftist anti-capitalist priors, but also making huge amounts of money for themselves, as Spielberg did. Let's not forget, Jurassic Park, those numbers are just for the original film. Jurassic Park has remained a franchise, and they're still making them, I believe. So, yeah, there we go. Spielberg, basically a propagandist, a regime propagandist, through and through. The cornerstone, the center, if you want, the beating heart of the Boomer Truth regime. And we go back to this post I made. The culture war cannot be won as long as you still have a generally positive view of these four individuals. Spielberg's definitely one of them, okay? He personally is probably responsible for inculcating more people into a liberal worldview than any individual ever to live, right? I mean, if you think about the total number of people who watched his movies, and who then develop their, because let's not forget, okay, let's go back to Vilfredo Pareto 101, or Jonathan Haidt, if you want, okay? The intuition, the feeling comes first, and the reasoning follows, okay? why am I saying this? I watched these films myself in the 80s and the 90s. I remember watching Amistad with tears in my eyes. The feeling comes first. Then you reason yourself back into a position to justify the feeling. Okay? This is how they get you. This is how Spielberg got you. Okay? And what I'm trying to do here is, in a way, deprogram all of that. There are so many people who say, well, I'm based on red pill and so on and so forth, or they just because I vote this way, or I'm a conservative, blah, 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 who then will still absolutely leap to the defense of somebody like Spielberg and come up with all sorts of copes to try to defend these films, because they give them a warm glow of nostalgia, because, you know, it's memories, because it's something that made them feel good at a particular time. Right. So they are doing it. They are working backwards from the feeling to the reasoning. And what I'm saying is, this is all propaganda. It has always been propaganda, and it has always been absolutely political. Everything this director in particular now, is political. Okay. I'm not saying anything about any other directors or any other people. I'm talking specifically about him. Right. One of the most powerful men in our lifetimes, right, who capture the hearts and minds of millions of people. That is the dark truth about him. So let me know what you think of this in the comments. If you want to see through more propaganda techniques, I recommend Foundations of Rhetoric, where I talk about persuasion and I talk about how people think and feel and how you might be able to persuade them out of their worldview and so on. Whether I've done that in this video, who knows, but probably not. But there's Foundations of Writing and Logic as well, Foundations of Shakespeare, of course. But most importantly of all, friends, I'll see you a little bit later on for reviewing Adam Curtis with Simon Roberts. But most importantly of all, friends, get out. If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just 3 of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.